In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In 1882, the poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a poem called Decoration Day. The poem pays tribute to what was then a new form of civic observance, a day set aside to commemorate those that had perished in the Civil War by placing flags and flowers on soldiers' graves. It was a custom that gradually gave way to our modern celebration or commemoration of Memorial Day, honouring all who give their lives in military service. And this is Longfellow's poem. Sleep, comrades, sleep and rest on this field of the ground at arms, where foes no more molest nor centuries shot alarms. Yea, have slept on the ground before and started to your feet at the cannon's sudden roar or the drum's resounding beat. But in this camp of death no sound your slumber breaks. Here is no fevered breath, no wound that bleeds and aches. All is repose and peace. Untrampled lies the sod. The shouts of battle cease. It is the truce of God. Rest, comrades, rest and sleep. The thoughts of men shall be as sentinels to keep your rest from danger free. Your silent tents of green we deck with fragrant flowers. Yours has the suffering been. The memory shall be ours. This poem reflects on what we might call the peace of death. In death, the sounds of battle cease, and Longfellow calls it the truce of God. All is repose and peace. Rest, comrades, rest and sleep, he says. Memorial Day is a day that we collectively as a nation pause to remember all those that have died in the service of this country and the seemingly unending world struggle for freedom and peace. We remember the men and women who served their country, and especially those whose lives were sacrificed for causes that they deemed important enough to serve and to die for. We don't know how many people in the country will stop to remember those that have died for peace, nor what percentage we'll see tomorrow as just a holiday and the start of the summer season. The further we move from those terrible events of war, the less they seem to resonate with us. For those families, though, that have lost loved ones in war or from the effects of war, the memory hardly dims because it is the personal story, the personal sense of loss and grief that keeps the flame of memory going. At the height of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, I often found myself heartbroken to read of the deaths of so many young men and women and to see the pages of their photographs in the newspapers. What struck me were the ages of those that died, young men and women from their late teens to their early 30s, just starting out in life and dying for a cause of freedom and peace far from our country's shores. The nightmare of war terrorizes and traumatizes many, many people. The memory of the battle does not stay in the theater of war, but remains in the mind of those that were there and had to witness such death and tragedy. Peace does not come easily to those that return from war. A couple of years ago, I was presiding at Grace Church in Whitestone. When we were exchanging the peace, a woman came to me with tears in her eyes, telling me that she had just buried her son the Thursday before. After the service, we talked, and she told me that her son was a veteran of the Iraqi War. He had struggled to regain his life when he returned, and despite the significant family support he was given, he just wasn't able to adjust back to his old life. A week before that Sunday, he killed himself. He made a truce with God, if you use Longfellow's analogy. That encounter left an indelible mark. The memory of this young man is on my heart and in my prayers this weekend, as are all the others that die because of war and the lingering effects of military service and all the families that have been so scarred. In one sense, each Sunday is for us Memorial Day. The memorial of the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord, is part of what we celebrate in the Eucharistic prayer that is at the heart of our Sunday worship service. Our participation each week signals our willingness to remember Jesus' death and the impact his life had on the world. We are who we are because we choose to remember his life and to be transformed by it. We must remember that we are still living in the Easter season, the season that remembers the life of the risen Christ as he ministered to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. Jesus' defeat of death began the end times that we continue to live in. And the world became very different, and Jesus' first disciples had to make sense of what it all meant. In the account we hear today from the Gospel according to John, Jesus is giving what we might hear as a pep talk to his disciples before he leaves them. The promise Jesus makes is profound in that it guarantees for those that continue to believe in Jesus and to maintain a love for him, that the Father will send them an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to maintain a presence of Christ in their lives. This must have been a very comforting message to hear, to know that even as the religious and the military authorities were persecuting them, they would have a guide in their hearts to help them stay the course of life that Jesus had taught them. And it is also a message that should resonate with us today. Importantly, Jesus promised his disciples continued peace. Jesus' whole ministry was centered on a new way of life, a way of life that was not of the world, but was centered on love and peace, justice and freedom from earthly oppression. Each aspect of his ministry was countercultural then and remains so today. When we speak of peace, when we speak of peace today, we generally come to understand it as a type of truce, like in Longfellow's poem. Not so much peace in death, but peace in life after war. Peace resonates with us as a cessation of armed conflict, where the sides of the battles lay down their arms and come to the negotiating table to find a way to agree on peace terms. Peace, as the world knows peace, is easily corrupted. Peace may be declared, but often the sin of persecution of one's enemies continues, just in a different form. In the context of this country, it seems to me, coming in from the outside, that old wars are still being waged, just with different tools and new media. For some, the Civil War never ended, and young people today want to start the hostilities all over again. Jesus said to his disciples that the peace he was leaving them was a peace not of this world. It was a different sort of peace, and it came from faith in God. This new peace was a peace of the heart, an inner peace, founded on love, justice, and forgiveness, first in one's relations with God, and then in one's relation with their neighbour. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ and an understanding of Jesus' teachings that we can arrive at an understanding of this new form of peace. Just as Jesus was born to be the cornerstone of this new life we live, so the peace Jesus left us is the foundation of our new life in Christ. For without a sense of deep inner peace, we cannot hope to be at peace with those that we are called to love and to minister to. Jesus didn't just tell his disciples that the peace he was giving them was the last word. He assured them that God, his Father, was going to send the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, to be the constant presence of God with them. We were never destined to be alone without a sense of God in our hearts. The feeling of being alone would only manifest itself if we closed ourselves off to the Spirit of God that is offered. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember the sacrifices of those that served the cause of freedom and peace through military service and volunteer service in war, and especially those that died. Peace and rest has come to those that lost their lives. But for us who live, we can have peace in our hearts today through Jesus Christ, the author of true peace. As we come to this communal table, where we will participate in the memorial of Jesus' life, be reminded that the promise of God is to be with us always through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.